Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon on this dark, rainy, sunny day. It gets dark. It rains. There's a little bit of lightning. There's a little bit of wind. Then the sun comes out for a little while. Then it gets dark again. There's rain. There's lightning. That's the way it's been all day. And as the psalmist said, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're talking about Deborah the prophetess, Deborah the judge, Deborah the wife, Deborah the warrior, Deborah, a mother to all Israel. Our scripture text is Judges chapter 5, verse 7, and it reads, "The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose." That I arose, a mother in Israel. Well, today we're looking at mothers to be generational inspirers, generational inspirers. You know, when you look at the old newsreels of World War II, years prior, like 1939 newsreels, and you see how Hitler was inspiring the German people through his political rhetoric. You can see the people, I mean, in the tens of thousands, just so excited, so inspired by Hitler's speeches. But he inspired them for evil. He inspired them to do evil in the sight of the Lord. He inspired them to do atrocities. He inspired them to war. He inspired them to warmongering. The same way Satan has people who inspire to do wrong, church mothers are to inspire for the spiritual children of the church to do which is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Let's read again Judges chapter 4, verse 4, and it says, "And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth," she judged Israel at that time, "and she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for discernment and judgment." Heavenly Father, again, we give you thanks in this hour, in this day that is most crucial, in this year that is most crucial, how we need mothers, how we need mothers in the home, how we need for mothers to be involved in their children's lives, how we need for mothers to be involved in the lives of other children, how we need national mothers and church mothers and mothers of all kinds to promote people to good. We thank you, Lord, that Grace Christian Church is filled, is replete with such great women who are godly mothers. I believe, Lord, that Grace Church would not be where it is today if it were not for those godly mothers fighting the good fight of faith month after month, year after year. Oh, how we honor them today, how we shall honor them tomorrow. Father, we thank you for our church mothers. Now bless this lesson and cause us to recognize the importance of motherhood, and not just to recognize the importance of motherhood, but to stimulate it, to encourage it, to cause it, to give it its proper place among the people of God. Bless us, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. From verses 6 through 10, we find Deborah the prophetess inspiring a generation. It says in Judges chapter 5, verse 7, that people were afraid. People were in hiding. People were basically living underground existences. People were afraid to come out because they were afraid to confront the Canaanites, their old enemies, those old enemies that don't never seem to go away. We in the church have an old enemy that never seems to go away, and that is Satan and his minions. It takes church mothers to inspire church folk to arise. Deborah said, the people were down. The people were depressed. The people were in hiding. You couldn't even see the people until that I arose. And I arose as a mother in Israel. What is a mother? What is a mother? Well, it's a female parent. That's what a mother is. A mother's a female parent. It takes two parents, a male and a female. And to have one and not the other is to be handicapped. And to not have both is to be disastrous. And thank God for church fathers and church mothers. It's a female parent in the body of Christ. But it's more than that. A mother is a person who changes generations. That's right. Deborah was a transgenerational change agent. She changed things. When she came into her own, when God raised her up to be a prophetess, the people were so spiritually and emotionally depressed, cowering in corners, hiding, only coming out at dark and coming out quietly, not making any noise, in subjugation to the Canaanites. But here comes Deborah. She arises, and the moment she arises, she starts mothering. And she begins to produce change, because that's what mothers do. They're change agents. You give a mother a problem, she'll solve it. She'll bring about change, and change for good. Change agents. They change circumstances. They change situations. You know, I used to tear my pants a lot, and my grandmother would say, okay, go into the bathroom, take your pants off, and hand them to me. And there I am. I'm in the bathroom. I'm taking off my pants, and I'm slightly opening the door because I don't want Grandma to see my little privates. And I hand the – here I am. Here's my little hand, and I'm giving it through the door to Grandma. And then I would hear her sewing machine going to work. And a few minutes later, there's a knock on the door. Okay, here's your pants. And she would give me my pants back. And there, I put them on, and the hole was gone. It was sewn back together. A change agent. And we're not just talking about sewing clothes. We're talking about sewing lives. Mending lives. Change agents. Mending things that are broken. Fixing things that are broken. That's what mothers do. They're change agents, transgenerational. Listen, my grandmother just didn't do it for me, her grandson. She did it for my mother, her daughter. She just didn't do it for her daughter. She did it for her husband, my grandfather. You see, transgenerational. My grandmother served my grandfather, my grandmother served my mother, and my grandmother served me. Three generations. That's how women do it in the spirit. The women who lead in the church are focused on the generation of their parents. Then they focus on their generation. Then they focus on the younger generation, transgenerational. And then church mothers are very keen discerners. You bring them a problem. They'll say, sit down at the table. And then say, okay, tell me your problem. And there you are, and you tell them your problem. And then they'll say, okay, let's go to the Bible. Let's go right here. I discerned your situation. I've scrutinized what you told me. I've judged it, and not judged it in a judgmental way, but judged it as far as knowing what the problem is. And now we're going to apply the Word of God. We're going to apply the antidote. I remember When I had bronchitis, my grandmother had a remedy for my bronchitis. I remember when I used to get scrapes on my knees, my grandmother, whatever my grandmother did when I had the scrape on my knees was not the same as when I had bronchitis. She could judge two different situations. Two different situations and apply two different remedies. There were times when I was acting up, and then there was another remedy for that. It was, you know what that remedy was. And we're not talking about timeouts. In my day, there was no timeout. I wish there would have been timeouts in my day when they told you to go sit in the corner. There was something else. And boy, your bottom was smoking. It was, I tell you, my bottom was on fire many a times because that was the antidote that needed to be applied. See? So they're keen discerners and appliers of the word of God. But today we're talking about how mothers inspire. Inspire. To inspire means to stimulate, motivate, courage. Here are some words that are synonymous with inspire. What are they? Stimulate, motivate, encourage, influence, arouse, stir, energize, incite, galvanize. Let me repeat these again. When someone is an inspirational speaker, when your job is to look at a crowd and the crowd is depressed, or let's say as a pastor, someone comes into my office and they are downcast, they're down and out, they've lost their zip for life. I mean, they're just in the dumps. When they sit in my office, when they sit across me and I look at them, at that moment in time, my job as a man of God is to do what? Stimulate, motivate, encourage. It's like when my old bicycle, when my inner tube in my bicycle was out of air, and I would run over, I would take my bicycle, I would walk my bicycle over to the gas station, and there was the air pump, and I would take that air pump, and I would take the hose, and I would put it to my bicycle, and there's my tire. It's deflated, it's out of air, it's dead. I can't ride the bike. The bike is no good to me with a back tire with no air. Then here comes the air through the tube, and it fills the inner tube up. And now I can squeeze it, and it's nice and filled with air. You see, that's, you stimulate that tire. You motivate that tire. You encourage that tire. You influence it. You arouse it. You stir it. You energize it. You galvanize it. You incite it. You animate it. You fire it up. You ignite it. You kindle it. You awaken. You see, that's what being an inspirer is. You're not called to beat people up. They've already beaten themselves up. That's why they're depressed. They know they did something wrong, and you got to come alongside of them and say, okay, it's water under the bridge. What happened has happened. You messed up. Okay, where do we go from here? Are you going to walk around all day long, all week long, all month long, moping around? No. Now, new beginning. Today it's a new beginning, and you begin to stimulate them. You stimulate their mind. You motivate them. You encourage them. This is what mothers do. This is what they do, and they do it better than anybody. They do it better than anybody. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, because Deborah was a prophetess. She was a prophetess. And this is what someone who prophesies does. 1 Corinthians 14:3. But he or she that prophesieth, he or she who engages in the office or in the ministry of the prophet, does what? Speaks unto men, unto women, to what purpose? To edification. In other words, when you are called an inspirer, you build people up. Your job is not to tear them down. They've already torn themselves down. Life has already torn them down. Life has already beat them up. You're not there to tear down what's already been torn down. You are there now. Your job as an inspirer to your church generation, to the people who come to church week after week, whether it be the seniors in the church or the young married couples or the young people or the children, whatever group you're ministering to, whatever group you're speaking to, your job is to edify them, to build them up. Build them up, not tear them down. Then the next thing that Deborah or any prophet or prophetess does is they go from edification to exhortation. To exhort someone is to remind them of Bible warnings, to exhort. Hey, listen, you're going down this path. You are going down the same path Samson went down. You are going down the same path that Solomon went down. You are going down the same path that so-and-so went down, whatever Bible character you're speaking of. You're reminding them. You're alerting them. You're forewarning them of future consequences if they don't change course. That's what exhortation is. You exhort. How many times did the church mothers call me over? I remember church mothers, they had these unique strategies. They would say, hey, Michael, could you come here? Listen, here's this money. Go down to the grocery store and go get me these items and come back and bring them to me. And I would go to the grocery store. Now, these are church mothers. I would go down to the grocery, get the items. And when I'm waiting, there's hot cocoa waiting for me. Now, the church mother really didn't need me to go to the store. It was just her excuse to get me to sit down at her dinner table. She was going to serve me some hot cocoa because she had some advice. She was going to warn me. She was going to, in love, she was going to alert me of dangers I didn't see down the road, of traps and snares and nets and gins that the devil and his minions has set up for young people like us. And here they are. We're drinking the hot chocolate, and she says, you know, I saw you the other day, and you were doing such and such. Let me tell you, don't do that, Michael. Michael, that is not the behavior of a young Christian young man. Michael, no. Look what the Bible says. They were exhorting. They were forewarning of the consequences. They were reminding us of what Scripture said, how Scripture alerts the Christian pilgrim of the dangers in the road. You see, to be an inspirer is to build people up who are already beat up and destroyed. You're going to take a destroyed life, you're going to take a broken life, and you're going to start to rebuild it and put it on the mend. But in other instances, there are others who are not broken yet, but who are on the road to destruction, and so you have to forewarn them, you have to exhort them. And then comforting. What is comfort? Paul says, he who prophesies in the church, let him speak to men, to what? To build them up, to warn them of approaching dangers, exhort them, and then to comfort. Some have already gone off the rails. Some have already destroyed themselves. Some are already crying because of loss. They have wrecked their lives. They've done something that they truly regret because now it puts them back. They didn't heed the warnings. You forewarned them. You alerted them. You reminded them of what the Bible said, but they didn't listen. And so now they have made a wreck of things. And so now here comes the church mother. What does she do? Does she say, I told you so? No. And I told you so at that moment won't help. The church mother comes, puts their arms around this person, and comforts them and tells them, with God, everything is going to be all right. You see, she's an inspirer. Now, do you deserve an I told you so? You deserve 1,000 I told you so's. But you can already, you're already telling yourself the I told you so's. You don't need someone to tell you an I told you so. And the worst thing you can have is some self-righteous person pointing the finger at you, or a group of self-righteous people pointing the finger at you and saying, we told you so. You don't need to hear that at that moment. That drives you away from God. That drives you away from the place of safety, which is the church. No, what you need is someone to put their arms around you and provide you with a shoulder you can cry on. That is mothering for God. That's what I had growing up. And if I'm what I am today, if I'm anything today, it's because not only did I have my mother and my grandmother who were my church mothers, but our church was filled with such inspirational women. Disappointed in our actions, yes. Sad about what we did, yes. Heartbroken about the coming consequences, absolutely. But it was no time. It was no time to beat us up. It was a time to build us up, and it was a time to love on us. That's what it means to be an inspirer. That's what grace is all about. Grace is when you mess up royally, when you mess up big time, having known better, and here come these church folk around you and help you out. That's grace. That is what God's people do. I want to read one more scripture because it ties in with this idea of church mothering. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. This is how you inspire people. It says in Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man, if a brother or a sister be overtaken in a fault. Now that word overtaken means apprehended. Let's say you catch someone in a sin. Remember when they caught the woman in adultery, how they apprehended, they caught her in the act. Paul says, brethren, brothers and sisters, if one of the saints be apprehended in the act, ye which are spiritual, you who claim to walk with God, you ought to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, considering you too have a sinful nature, lest also you be tempted and fall. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Boy, do we need church mothers who can inspire. You know, looking back at my life, I can see all the mistakes that I made. But I'm here today because every time I made a mistake, I had someone to inspire me. I had someone who would build me up, someone who would warn me and give me the gospel alerts when I needed them, and someone to comfort me when I didn't heed the warnings that were previously given. No one in the church gave up on Michael Torres. And this is why today I look back fondly at all those people instrumental in my life, mainly women, because the men were working. The men were out in the factories working, and the men were out, you know, earning the bread for the family. It was those mothers day in and day out, those housewives. In my day when I was growing up, I don't recall there being a professional woman in my church. I remember all of them being housewives. But oh, how wise they were. How wonderful they were. How loving they were. How caring they were. How forgiving they were. God bless them. God bless them, and God bless church mothers today. May they so inspire another generation. Another generation of people who will fully obey the Lord. We're going to leave it there. We're going to come back tomorrow to finish up on this series. God bless you, and stay encouraged.